who said I was. Last night I was not there who said I was. Last night I was not there who said I was. Last night I was not there, I said I was.
G'day, I'm Irk, and welcome to Irk FM Extra. Irk FM Extra is the part of Irk FM where we go behind the scenes and backstage, and we talk to the artists, we talk to industry people, all about what makes them tick. And today I'm in Sydney, Australia, and we're talking all the way. We're going over the oceans. It would take me many hours to fly there, but thanks to the convenience of Skype, it's quite good. And we're speaking to Terra Novacan.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Eric.
Now, hopefully I've pronounced the name of the band correctly.
Yeah, that's it, Terra Novacan.
That's awesome. So I'm speaking with Lisa, first of all, our lead vocalist, amongst other things. Hello, Lisa.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, of course, when I played your music on the episode a couple of weeks ago on Irk FM episode 215, I was reading your Reverb Nation bio and I couldn't figure out what BV meant.
BVs were, exactly. And now, you know, BVs, backing vocals. But I think the Americans say that pretty often, in fact. So, I looked it up myself. I was wondering if I was dreaming it, actually. But I grew up saying BVs. And, backing vocals.
Yes, it was just one thing that didn't necessarily click to me at the time.
I remember I heard it.
And it was so obvious when you sent the email. It was just so obvious.
So now you know for sure.
I do. I'll hopefully never forget that again.
No, I don't think so.
So why don't you introduce the two gentlemen that you've got sitting next to you and tell us, where are you?
Okay. Well, I'm sitting with Benoit. You can call him Ben, because Benoit may be a little difficult to say. Benoit, who is the guitar player. He plays lap steel as well. He plays bass, and he sings BVs. And Terra Novacan. And Simon, who plays drums, keyboards sometimes, and BVs as well. So backing vocals.
And we are just sitting in Paris, France, in the middle of the winter.
And the middle of the night. Well, no, not the middle of the night. It's 11 o'clock at night.
Okay, and I think you are in the middle of the summer in down there in Australia.
We are. It's just on 9 o'clock in the morning, so things really haven't heated up yet. But hopefully, it'll get a bit hotter. What is What is the weather in Paris doing at the moment? Do you have snow?
No snow. No, actually,
We had snow.
We had snow last week. Yeah, but we haven't had much snow this winter anyway. But we had a cold front like cool. 2 weeks away, 2 weeks ago. And it was really freezing. It went on to minus 12, I think. And that was really cold for Paris. And I think it went down further in other parts of France. But in Paris, we're not used to that. We're used to zero or minus 5, but not minus 12. At the most, minus 5. Really at the most. And so it was really, really cold. It was kind of miserable. But now the weather is like 2 degrees, 3 degrees. It's quite mild, quite nice again. And the sun is back.
But you're nice and warm. You're in a studio at the moment, I presume?
Yeah. Well, right now we're in my home.
And so you're nice and warm?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're nice and warm.
That's awesome. So, Lisa, why don't you tell us, how did Terra Novacan start?
Terra Novacan, we'd have to go back to Violet Lynn, which Ben and I did as a duo. I think we started in 2004, 2006, I don't remember now. And we went around playing bass and voice. Ben played the bass and I sang. And that was it. And so we did a couple of gigs like that. And after a few years of doing that, we got bored of just being the two of us and not having drums because we really like the drums. And so we looked for a drummer, and we had a couple of drummers. And in 2009, Simon came along at about in April or March, I don't remember.
March
2009. And so Terran Overcane, as you know it, and as we know it now, is with Simon, Lisa, Ben, and it's been going on for 2.5 years now. Almost three.
Almost three years.
This year would be three.
What about the name? How did you come about with the name?
Ben, you want to talk about the name?
Yeah, pretty much like Australian music from the 80s, like The Church, and they got a song on this album called Gold Afternoon Fix, I guess.
You know that album, do you, Gold Afternoon Fix?
The Church.
The Church?
I'm familiar with The Church.
Yeah, okay. And they got a song called Terra
Nova Cain,
which is a great song. So when we were looking for a band name, well, I said, well, why not Terra Nova Cain? And then the other say, yeah, great. And after, I was not so sure, but we vote and they won.
they won, and then we went on and off for quite a few years, honestly, saying, oh, did we make the right decision? And we had already changed band names twice. That was a second change. We were Violet Lynn, and then we were Karma EG or something like that. God forbid, but we were. And then we went to Terra Nova Cain. So people were complaining, or fans, early day fans, were complaining that we changed names too much. So we didn't dare change it again. And so we had, we were hesitated even up till last year. I think it's fine now. I think everybody agrees that it's okay. But it took, yeah. A name is not easy. A name is really not easy.
In France.
In France too, yeah, because they have to pronounce it. Yeah, we're in France, and it's true. They either say Terra Nova Caia or Terra Nova. There's something that they can't get, which is understandable. So even you were wondering if you were pronouncing it correctly. So
sometimes I wonder. Even with simple band names, it might look simple on the page, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's pronounced the way that you think it's pronounced.
That's true. That's true.
But now
what you see is what you get with Terra Nova Cain. It's really pronounced, you pronounce all the letters.
Now, in your bio, you describe yourselves as a Franco-Jamaican rock trio. How does that come about?
Well, because I'm Jamaican. So
and we're French.
And they're French. So we're Franco-Jamaican. It's not, maybe it can be misunderstood as the music, as if the music were Franco-Jamaican, which I don't know what that would be, honestly. I don't know what Franco-Jamaican music would be like, but it's actually just Franco-Jamaican is
reggae
us.
With accordion.
Yeah, reggae with accordion would be Franco-Jamaican, I guess, but that's not what we do.
Maybe you should try that for the next album. Just at least one song.
Album, yeah. I don't know that, Eric. I really don't know. I'm not very fond of accordions. And I'm not a huge reggae fan either, but I mean, I do like reggae, but not a huge fan. And so I'm from Kingston, Jamaica originally. I grew up there and I live in Paris, France. Ben is originally from beside Paris and from the mountains as well in Grenoble. That's where we met.
In the Alps.
And Simon is from Angoulême.
Southwest.
Southwest. Thank you, Simon, because I don't know where that is still.
So. Yeah, you can have Armagnac, cognac in
Simon's house. That's what his father does. He makes stuff that you like to drink.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, tell us about the change between Jamaica and France. Why France?
I think just originally, well, I was young, first of all, and I wanted to learn another language and not mess it up like I messed up Spanish at school. And I wanted the change. That's originally why I came to France. I don't know, something appealed to me in this country, and I knew I'd like it. And then when I came, I came and went for a couple of years. I went to art school here in the Alps, in Grenoble. I came, went back to Jamaica, worked in advertising, and I came back. I did all sorts of back and fro, and to and fro. And so I really like living here. I feel comfortable here. That's basically it. I can't explain it, really.
It would have been a big culture shock the first time that you've gone from Jamaica to France, I presume?
Not so much. No, not so much. Jamaica's pretty English, so in my house anyway. So there was not so much of a... they ate more, and I put on a whole lot of weight when I first came here, and that's hard to shake. a whole lot of weight. And so they ate more. They ate more desserts all the time. They ate, I don't know, they ate a lot. And longer, for over longer periods.
Less than the Americans.
Less than the Americans, maybe. But it was, that was different for me. Obviously, the language was a shock. And you just go into shock. You go into shock because you're in a language that you do not know. I did not know French at all. And so I decided I wanted to learn this way. And not, you know, not at school, because that wasn't working out for me. And I really knew that I wanted to learn two languages. I was the type of person, I wanted to go work with Greenpeace and stuff like that. So the international appeal was always there, and, you know, cultural mix and blah, blah, blah. So learning another language was essential to me. I couldn't see that I could go through my life speaking one language. That wasn't interesting to me.
So how did you actually meet Simon and Ben? Were you just walking down the street? And
no, I used to play in the band back in the late...
This is Ben speaking.
Yeah, I'm Ben. I used to play like in a French band in Grenoble in the Alps in the late 80s. And Lisa was study art, was in an art school in Grenoble. And it happens she was the neighbor of the guitarist of the band. So that's how I met Lisa. Okay.
Did you get that?
I got that. How did Simon fit in? How did you find Simon?
Okay. How did we meet you?
I met Lisa at work. 2 years ago, we worked in the same enterprise. And Lisa was an English teacher, so I met her in this enterprise. I went to a concert of Terran of Cain with the old drummer. And this night I told Lisa that if I want to make with a band in Paris, I would like to play with a group with a band like Terran of Cain.
But we already had a drummer, so I just looked at him blankly and I said, okay, whatever. So it turned out that our drummer did leave a year later, and Simon is still hanging around and still asking, well, do you need a drummer from time to time? And one summer he wrote, the summer after, and he wrote, I was in Switzerland at that time, and he, it was a chat, I think it was on Facebook or something, and he said, hi, are you looking for a drummer now? And I said, actually, we are. Because we're kind of taking vacation. And so then we tried out with Simon in September. March, yeah, no, no, what's, yeah, no, fe- yeah, February, and then in March we started. Yeah. It was a deal, it was a plan, in March 2009.
So how did each of you get started in music in the first place? Let's go way back.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to start, I was like 13 years old, and I was asking my mother to buy some instruments. I really wanted to play because I was listening to things like Talking Heads and like in. Well, I'm quite old, and to say So it was during the 80s, and I was listening to the Jam, to the Clash, to the that kind of band. And I really wanted to play. And she finally bought me a bass, because I wanted to play bass, and an amp. So I have some friends, a good friend of mine who wanted to play drums. And we had another friend who was a guitarist, a classical guitarist, and he wanted to play electrics. And the parents of the drummer was kind enough to arrange the basement on their under their house. So we stopped playing basically every Saturday afternoon and Wednesday afternoon. So we started like playing, doing covers of the band we love. And after we changed bands and starting playing our own music and so on. Okay, and Lisa's gonna.
Simone, you wanna go first? And okay, mine is a different. We had to do this the other day, I think. So it was good rehearsal for this for this interview. We had to talk about this the other day. I grew up in a very musical environment. My dad was dead now. He died about 10 years ago, even more. He was a reverend. He was a teacher, a mathematician, and he was a musician, and he loved music. And music was compulsory at our house, and it wasn't anything necessarily enjoyable. You had to do music. That was just one of the things you did, and you had to do your math and be good at math and learn music. So all you had to do was choose an instrument. I don't even think I chose an instrument. No, I think I was they imposed the piano. I had to just learn piano. So that was the way I was brought up. As I was saying, I stopped piano as soon as I was able to rebel at age of 16, because I didn't like the songs that they gave me to play, which were all happy-go-lucky waltzing, and I didn't like that kind of feel. I like classical music, but not what I was doing in the piano at piano lessons. And I really regret having stopped piano, because it's good foundation. But anyway, that happened, and so I grew up. I grew up in music. I didn't have to ask my parents to play music. When I said to my parents long ago that I wanted to be a musician, then they said I wasn't being serious about it, about anything. I had to be a doctor or a lawyer or Indian chief for all that matter, but not a musician. So I wasn't necessarily encouraged in this light, but music was a part of my education, like all my sisters and all my brothers. It was just the way it was. And over to Simon.
Yeah. Me, when I was 9 years old, my mother asked me, "Would you like to play a musical instrument?" Because I just stopped playing soccer. So I answer, I can't remember why. Yes, I want to play drums. And my mother was so sad of my answer. So I began. Mm-hmm. I take lessons with a teacher from 9 years old to 16, and then I started to play with some friends, then with a band. With a band called Third Stone in Angoulême. We made comment dire, reprises?
Yeah,
reprises.
Ah, covers.
Some covers of
they did some covers, yeah.
Blues rock band. And then after I with because of my work I went to Paris, and then I met Taran Avakane.
Eric, are you there?
I was just listening to Simon's accent.
The silence is kind of freaky. It's like the Skype connection. It's like all of a sudden there's nobody there anymore.
No, the Skype connection is actually quite okay considering.
It's brilliant.
It is. So you've all been musical basically since at least your teenage years, if not before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed a common theme with many of the interviews that I've done. A lot of people grew up with piano, absolutely hated it, but now they are where they are. They could see the benefits of it, and some people wish they, you know, hadn't stopped.
Well, you know, I read something just yesterday. I was reading an interview with a musician. I don't even remember. You know what I was listening to? I was listening to your Domino interview. And one of the musicians, I believe, said that he did piano, and it was, once you did piano, it was like he just took up another instrument, and once you did piano, you could basically pick up every other instrument, any other instrument, and I've heard that before. No, I didn't do piano to the point of being any virtuoso at all, but I was pretty good. And I think, piano did help to form everything, to train me for everything I know how to do now. Unfortunately, I do regret not going all the way. However, it's okay at the same time. It's not, not a big drama or anything. I heard when Simon was just on another light, Simon was talking about his band Third Stone. Other bands, obviously, in the past. And I think I was trained, I was doing a pop world band for a while, which is not my cup of tea, really, but I was doing this band for 3 years, and I really think that's where I learned a lot of what I can do now. I was originally playing talking drums. Do you know what a talking drum is?
No.
A talking drum is an instrument from Mali, and it's like, it looks like an egg timer, you know? It has that same shape, and it has cords that attach the two skins, which are at the front and the base of the drum. You hold it under your arm, and you squeeze the skins, and it changes the tonality, changes the notes. And you hit it with a drum, with a stick. You have a stick that you hit it with. And often you play polyrhythm with that talking drum because it's a Ghanaian style. And so we did a lot of mixed 6-8, 6-8-4-4, and while you had to sing, or you'd play 6-8 and sing 4-4, or I'd have to play tambourine if I would play tambourine and 4-4 and sing 6-8. And so I did a lot. I think that really helped my musical training, somewhat the piano, yes, when I was young, but maybe a lot more came from this band I was with. And we toured quite extensively, did a lot of concerts. And then in that band, I switched to the bass as well. I'd done the bass before in an all-girls band, but that didn't go anywhere. And in this band, I switched from the talking drums. The singer switched me from the talking drums to the bass because we needed a bass player. And I was kind of upset because I wanted to keep doing the talking drum, but we needed a bass player, and I was obvious candidate to do that. And so I started playing 6-8 on the bass and singing 4-4 and playing the tambourine at the same time. Where a lot of my training came from, working in this band.
Do all of you find, because you all do vocals, that sometimes you're singing and you're playing the instrument, but you just want to keep on playing the instrument and you forget about singing, or vice versa?
Well, I say vice versa for me. Yes, sometimes I'd really like to forget about the bass and keep singing. Maybe I think Ben would say the other way around.
Yeah, exactly the contrary.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forgot to sing.
Yeah, that is official. Ben does forget to sing in concert. Yeah, he just he goes off in a trance, and I look at him, look over at him, I'm like, ah. Simon doesn't forget to sing often. He's more, Ben does. But it is true. I think for me, sometimes you do want to forget about it and be able to concentrate on one thing. There's another phenomenon, which is when you feel so comfortable, what that happens as well, when you feel so comfortable with your bass line or whatever, it's just a part of your body, and then you can just sing over it with it. It's just all one thing. But if you're nervous in a concert or something like that, it can be yeah, it can be a little nerve-wracking, but they're three musicians anyway, so we don't have much of a choice. You have to do everything. What about you, Simon?
Oh, no, yes. Sometimes I forget.
Sometimes he forgets. Okay, he does. Yeah. The question I think was, do you want to forget about it? You want to just prefer just drumming and not singing at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I force the BVs on them. I do, on Simon especially. But he has a beautiful voice, and I think it's he does. But I think it's like I have a lot of voice ideas. I have a lot of vocal ideas, and I hear the voices in my head. And so it's a little annoying when I hear them in my head and I can't hear them for real. So I'm like, okay, I heard this, Simon, and you go, It's like, I have all this drum fill to do and everything.
Sometimes it's not easy when I'm with my floor toms on my right.
Yes.
And the microphone is on my left.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not always easy. But we have to do it. That's our job.
Do you sing in both English and French or English only?
English only. I just, the only thing I do, I have these, my own little private jokes that nobody will ever, it's like a private joke. I love languages. I actually I'm a language fan in general. So I like the notion of language, not just English and French. I wish I spoke more languages, but how people communicate and how words come about, all of that, that comes from my father. My father was this Latinist guy and he just recited Latin all day at home when I was growing up, and that was my environment, and Shakespeare, and you know, that kind of thing. So I grew up loving these things, well, actually hating them sometimes, but ending up, yeah, loving them now. And so what I do is that, for example, in French and English, and I'm an English teacher as well. Well, I was what I am. And in French and English have a lot of common vocabulary, which comes from Latin. And I realized, you know, when I was teaching, that at least this is a rough estimate that I have made up. There's no official, there's no documentation on this. That's what I think. At least 60% of vocabulary in common in terms of Latin roots. And so, but however, even if the words are in common, they may have, the meanings may have shifted. For example, what I like to do is stick in French English words that are similar in French and English, and I know they have two meanings in different languages. For example, this old song called Double Six that we don't do anymore. There's one example that I can think of is the word parole. In parole in English, as you know, is when you're locked up, you've been arrested and you get out on parole, meaning you can leave the police station, you can leave the prison, and they will trust that, you know, you'll walk around. Parole in English, parole, it comes from a French word, parole, which means word. So that means you give your word that you will not mess up again or you won't try to escape. So I like these kind of little twists, which parole in French, if you go back, they translate back to it. I don't know if you're following me. If you translate it backwards, parole in French is a condition is called the real translation would be conditional freedom with conditions.
Yeah.
So I like all these. For me, I sing one word, and I know that there are all these meanings and all these densities, and that's enough for me. So I don't sing in French. I don't really think I will, but I do inject French cultural meanings in the English that I sing. But I'm the only one who knows this. If I don't tell you, you probably wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe the French would see the word and say, okay, they would interpret it that way. That's fine. That's exactly what I want. They'd interpret it in the French way, whereas an English person, an English-speaking person, would interpret it in an English way. And both of them would be right, but both would be saying two totally different things. I like that.
So when it comes to your songs, who does the songwriting?
Well, we actually not doing really songwriting. Sometimes doing the rehearsal, someone's gonna start a line or feel or whatever. Or I'm gonna start doing a guitar riff. And if Lisa is
inspired
by that kind of things. She's gonna start off her doing a bass line, and Simon's gonna start the drums, and she's gonna find vocal lines or something like that,
and
the lyrics, and at the end of the rehearsal, we're gonna have a song, or pretty much finished. So we're gonna come back the other day and finish the song, but nobody's coming with the verse, the chorus, the bridge, and so it's gonna be like that, you know. We all do the music together, and
it has happened in the past. The band has brought songs, Simone has brought songs, I have brought songs, but it's true that it's mostly what happens is that we go from Ben's guitar riffs. It's not even just some of the time, it's most of the times lately. And not necessarily the case of the album that you have, Burner, because we have a lot of other songs. We create a lot of songs. It's frightening. So we had to stop ourselves from composing. Because every time Ben would try out a pedal or something, or some beautiful song would come up, I'd say, Simone, we have to go back in, because there's a song coming up, and we just want to record it. So we have a lot of songs. Actually, we have I think we have 45 songs and that we're doing. And so the Burner album is only 12 of those 45. And so, the part where Ben comes and experimenting with his guitar, with his pedals, with his sounds, and then a song comes out. That's mainly what happens right now. And then we all have an answer to that. It's like a conversation, that he's starting a conversation. But that's what music is, really, for me anyway. He's starting a conversation, and then we reply, and then we start going back and forth. And usually it works out. Sometimes we abandon the effort, but we have so many songs, it's not dramatic. It's not, you know, not a problem. But that's basically how it's going right now.
Lisa, I might actually get you to translate this question into French for me.
Okay.
If they need it. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're asleep and you have a really good idea. What do you do?
Vous avez compris ou pas?
Yeah.
Il est 3 heures du matin.
T'as une super idée.
Voilà. Yeah. They understood. Qu'est-ce que tu fais? Okay.
I record it on my smartphone.
Yeah, long live smartphones with that.
I'm going to stay awake to the morning and still sing the... No, it happens to me before, and I love the song. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
I think you just go back to sleep.
Yeah. Try another day.
Yeah,
Ben
is probably the type. He's probably the type. He says, "Oh, it's good enough. It will stick to the morning."
I think the best song I had, I forgot about it in the morning. They were brilliant.
I don't believe too much in that. If it's good, it will stick with you. Sometimes I have all sorts of different examples. I like Simone, I will record it on my telephone. I will, I do a strange thing. I record it virtually in my head. I literally, if I can't get up and find a telephone and I can't sing out loud because I don't want people to wake up or anything, what I do is I put this band in my head. It's like as if I had play and record. I don't know how you call that, like the facade of a recorder, and I see record and play, and I press both of them and I record the idea in my head. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. So I literally imagine myself. It's like a pure, what they would call linguistic programming or something. When you program your brain to think, to remember things or to think a certain way. And it's literally what I do. I press play and record in my head, in my mind's eye, and I record. And it has worked, I'd say 80%. It works 80% of the time. Sometimes if I'm really too tired, no, it will go away. The worst things that would happen to me, and it's happened to me several times, I'd wake up I'd be dreaming about this music that I was listening to, and I was like, oh my God, this is a great PJ Harvey song. Oh my God, I need to know this song. Oh my God, this is a great TV on the radio song. Or I'd put, in my dream, I'd be somewhere else, and I'd wake up and I realized this was not a PJ Harvey song or a TV on the radio song or a Stooges song or a Radiohead song. It was my song, and I totally forgot it. And that is very, very frustrating. So, yeah, if I can't, sometimes I can get it, sometimes I can't.
The reason I ask that question is because many people have many ideas. Some people, they'll get up and they'll do what Simon did, and they will actually record it on their phone, or they'll write it down. Some people even, and I think one of the guys said this on the Domino interview, they'll actually go to their instrument and play their instrument and record what they're doing. Others will take Ben's approach, and they'll just hopefully wake up in the morning, and if it's a good idea, well, they'll go with it. And then others don't. So it's just an interesting question.
Well, the thing is that the problem is we live in an apartment. We live in apartments, and you really can't get up and play music in the middle of the night. If you're living in a house then you can. But we're living in the middle of Paris, and there's like other people below, above, and it's always you can hear everything. You can't get up and, you can. So what you can do is like sing gently into a smartphone or into a tape recorder, into a digital recorder. That's the most we can do here. We can't get up and pick up a guitar and start playing. That's just not possible for us. So we just have to make do.
Me, I can play guitar or piano, so
you have to sing.
When I have a melody in my head, I need to record it,
to write
it in my computer, and bring it in rehearsal.
Where's the strangest place that you've ever thought up of a song?
L'endroit le plus étrange où vous est venu une idée pour une chanson. No, Eric, that's the strangest question I've ever heard.
Really?
not really, but I'm just biding time trying to get it because I don't know what to say.
I was swimming in the sea.
Oh, Psycho Pimp?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. This is Psycho Pimp on the album. He was swimming in the sea.
And I was saying to myself, I need to find a song. I need to find a song.
I can show them that I can find a song.
And I find the bass line of Psycho Pimp. And
which is not the guitar line. We turned it around. Psycho Pimp, I don't know which number it is on the album, on Burner.
Twice guitar and bass.
And then, yeah, he brought guitar and bass. And we didn't, since he recorded it on a computer afterwards, after having sang into, is that what, right? Mm. And I thought the bass line was the bass line. In fact, the guitar line that he had thought of as a guitar line, I thought was a bass line. So I just took that line for me, and since I could, I got an immediate inspiration from that song. Well, then we worked on it, but we switched. We didn't even know that we switched parts, Ben and I. Simon, after when he heard us playing, he said, "Yeah, actually, that was a bass line, and that was a guitar line." But it was too late. We had switched around.
Well, I will not fret too much about losing the song. You have to actually record it because I think we are confident enough. We have enough ideas to.
That's
if you've got a song or the idea is not working, well, you go on and you just move on. You know, we're not gonna dry.
Dry up? Yeah. Writer's block. I don't think so. For the moment, we haven't been composing because we just have too many things and too much material.
Yeah, we need to record.
We need to record. We need to do. We need a double album to get rid of this stuff. You know? Burner's just not enough. Burner's just a baby, and then there are more babies to come. So yeah, we have a lot of songs, and we can't. It gets frustrating when you compose that much. Set lists are nightmares for us. We usually just hand them over to Ben because he has two guitars, two different guitars, and he has different guitars for different songs. So he said, yeah, just do the set list so you feel comfortable with your change. And making a set list for in our band is a nightmare, because we have material enough to fill, I'd say, 2.5 hours, and most shows here are 1 hour, and a lot of the shows that we've been doing or opening acts or something, half an hour. So it's very frustrating. We have to, you know, we have to leave behind so much material, you know, all the time. So we really want to record them later this year, or at the most beginning of 2013. But hopefully later this year, there'll be a baby brother or sister or twins for Burner.
Does Ben have to change his guitar after every song?
Do you? Change your guitar?
We could do it, but...
but that'd be long.
We tried to do five, seven songs with the same guitar, and after I change. And, we start the songs with this guitar, and doesn't sound right with another guitar.
Yeah,
but that's true. Well, we have to work over. I have to work
work on it.
I'll work on it, because it's really tiresome sometimes
to change guitar. Yeah. Well, no, we make do with that, because usually there's maximum 2 changes of guitar, meaning that we change once in the middle, and we will for a callback, you know, for an encore. If we have an encore, then you don't care, because you can just switch, pick up any old guitar, because you would have theoretically left the stage, or in any case, put your instruments down. So usually it's okay.
We're trying to avoid that at the maximum, because sometimes I saw band when they all changing instruments. It can be interesting. And we can do that, because Simon can play a keyboard. We have a song that's called Last Night on the Burner. Yeah. Well, Lisa's playing drums, and Simon's playing keyboards. And we have a song where I play bass, like Put It In My Mind or Last Night. So
I play guitar, just a main riff. Put In My Mind is the one you put on your show. On the podcast,
and Lisa sharing time. Sometimes, most of the time, she's on bass, but she plays keyboards. So we have to really, during a concert, we have really be careful about not changing instruments all the time. Because I don't myself, when I see a band doing that, I really don't like it. So, we try to work it out.
Do you use the keyboards every time you play?
No, we can't, because this is it. This is a very good question, and that's actually kind of a frustration. If we play for half an hour, it makes no sense bringing out the keyboards. It's a master keyboard, meaning it's dead. It has no sound of its own. So bringing out the keyboards means bringing out the laptop, means bringing out the sound. How do you say? I don't even know. Sound card? Do we really say sound card? Okay. Yeah. Bringing out the sound card. It sounds like a French translation. And it's a hell of a, you know, you have to set up all these things, plus the bass, which is essential. So the essential part is the bass. When we have a short show, I just bring out the bass. And that's what's been happening recently. I haven't played keyboard in... did we play keyboards when we released Burner? That's the last time. It was in October. And I do not at all bring out the keyboards all the time. But I do play the keyboards at the same time. Like in Put In My Mind, I just do the main riff on the guitar, which is just the little ting 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 all the time, and I do that, and I share my time with the keyboards. There are other songs, maybe not on Burner, where I share my time between the bass and the keyboards, or it could be bass and tambourine, where I share my time there as well. But no, sometimes and no, the answer is no. I do not bring out the keyboards all the time.
Because as we've said, sometimes it can get frustrating, especially with the guitar. Play one song, switch to the other guitar. Hi there, next song, switch to the other guitar.
Oh, no, Rita doesn't do that. No, we really do the set. No, this is exactly what we don't want, and none of us want. That's very frustrating. That'd be very tiresome for somebody to watch, and that's what Ben was saying. It's tiresome for him to watch. So what we do is that we really do 5, 6, 7. If it's an hour-long concert, well, we do 7 songs with the same guitar, and then we switch once in the concert, and maybe for the encore. It doesn't matter which one you take, but no, it's not. We really time it well to not move around a lot. Since, for example, last night I was not there. Who said I was? That's on the album where I play the drums and Simon plays the keyboards. Well, that's a song that we have to really put in. Sometimes we put it in the beginning of a concert. If we really want to do that song, we put it in at the beginning so that I start on the drums, Simon starts, and then we change once. So we're trying to avoid a lot of walking around and changing instruments, and it's too busy, too much noise going on. So we keep it as simple as possible. And since we have so many songs, even, post-burner, pre-burner, so many songs, and our set list is a mixture of the album songs and the other ones that we have, we can choose the songs to go well within a space. For example, if it's too small, but we won't do Last Night, makes no sense trying to squeeze past each other to go and to get them behind the drums and everything. We just work the set according to the place and the time we have to play, the amount of time we have to play. If we have enough time, well, yeah, you can do a lot of things, but often we don't have a lot of time and the space doesn't allow it. Maybe
your rehearsals must be interesting.
Yeah.
They were.
We haven't been rehearsing too much lately. We've been mainly doing concerts. Who wants to talk about rehearsals? Interesting. Go, Simon. Ça va être intéressant les répétitions, dit-il.
Wow.
Simon, yeah, because Simon, I think, chuckles.
Personally,
he's still chuckling.
Well, there is some kind of rehearsal when you doing. Preparing the gigs and everything. Sometimes it's interesting because you just go at full speed. But what's the most interesting for me as a musician, and it's really create the song on the spot. And I think more than the gigs, that's more than recording. That's really the moment I cherish. But doing music, it's to create a new song.
It's interesting because many people have, they really enjoy the live things. They want to record their things, but they want to always play to a live audience. It can be very different playing to a live audience compared to being in a recording studio or rehearsing.
What Ben was saying really is that he prefers that even before the recording, it's the creation of the music, because we have all our songs that are created. We don't create a song for an album. We have a million songs that we put into different albums. So that's because a lot of the reason for this is a lot of the reason for which we have so many songs, because Ben likes to create songs, so he keeps giving us interesting ideas, and we can't resist. And then I can't resist, and I get inspired, and I'm like, oh God, there's another song. At one point, it was actually tiring. We had so many creations going on, and we do them really quickly. And as he said earlier on, in one rehearsal, and maybe just finish it the next time we come back. But it's extremely satisfying. Ben prefers that part, creating the song part. The sculptural part, if I may. Which part do you prefer?
I like to create songs. I really like, but I think I like more to share it with an audience.
What is the live music scene like in Paris and in France?
A lot of folk, I find. At least when Yeah, there's quite a few folk bands. Rock and roll as rock is coming back in. No, I must say that Simon would probably know more than us because I don't go to concerts much. Simon goes quite a bit.
What do you mean about the French bands?
French scene.
There's a lot of French bands, but personally, we don't really go out.
We don't do that. We stay at our local and drink beer. Well, they have music over there, but not live music. I can't really say anything much about the French, the Parisian musical scene. We have friends that do music, and they all do different types of music, but it's all different strains of rock music. But I can't say that French has a right now that Paris is like a really great scene. And no, there's nothing effervescent going on here for in my terms. What I think.
Maybe in electro music?
No, I don't even know that in electro music. Maybe, yeah, but that's clubbing, that's different.
It's music.
Yeah, but that's clubbing, that's dancing. It's not like concerts or... I don't know. For a while, yeah, it was folk music, and since that's not...
And what's going on in Australia for the moment?
Oh, yeah, we did a great gig with an Australian band called Antarctica. I don't know if you know them at all.
No, I haven't heard of those guys, no.
Well, they're from Europe.
From where? From what?
Melbourne.
From Melbourne.
They're from Melbourne. They're great. They're great guys. Ned Jones is the lead singer and guitar player. And we met them through Reverb Nation. It was they contacted us and wanted to play in Paris. They were coming. They were touring. And they were touring Europe. And they were coming to Paris, and they contacted several bands, us including, and asked if we wanted to play with them, and we said okay, cool. And we ended up at my friend's place. We have this friend where we actually recorded Burner. That's where we used to rehearse. There's this very, very mysterious place in the Parisian suburbs, and she does concerts from time to time. And so we ended up doing a concert over there, and it was fantastic with other bands that he had contacted. That Ned had contacted, and it's fabulous. Antarctica, and you have to listen to it. I love it. It's great music, and they're really great guys. Antarctica.
What about some of the other bands that you play with at a concert? Are there any bands that you can think of that you like that you play with?
We have a band of friends called Master Nova. They are more Britpop. There's this French girl called Clarisse who's pretty good. We play with... I can't think of anything.
Mademoiselle Kerr?
Well, Mademoiselle Kerr, she's a big French act. They're a big French major popular combo in France, and we opened for them. Two concerts last year in Paris, that was fun, and in Lyon, which is
the second biggest city in France, called Lyon,
and so we went on the opening for her tour on those two gigs. That was nice. Oftentimes, the bands that we play with, we don't even necessarily know them. I don't know if that what it's like, but it's just that a bunch of bands get together or somebody else organizes it, and so you can meet bands that way, but you don't necessarily stick. It. Yeah, we met Master Nova, for example, and we remained friends, and so we played afterwards together on the same, shared the stages, other stages with them, but. Not necessarily. Yeah, you don't necessarily know them or share a stage with them afterwards.
What for each of you? What has been the funniest thing that's happened to you while you've been on stage?
I'm trying to laugh. Let me see now. funniest as in strange or ha ha. Funny.
Oh, funny, strange, funny, haha, whichever.
Okay, funny as you want it.
When I played in Angoulême, sometimes we play outdoor on the square, and then some people went just near from me. Then I was playing drums.
Je sais pas l'histoire. Du mec qui venait, il m'empêchait de jouer, du coup j'ai fini mon break sur les...
Ah yeah, it's a Russian guy.
No, okay.
So basically, okay, I'm trying. The guy, yes, I remember you told me this story. It was outside, I thought it was in a bar. Yeah, the guy wanted you to stop playing, but why did he want you to stop playing?
Il fallait pas que je joue comme je jouais, il fallait que je joue comme lui voulait, quoi.
Who was the guy?
Non, c'est...
Okay, this guy comes up to him and says to Simon, basically he wanted Simon to start playing because he didn't want Simon to play the way he was playing. He wanted Simon to play the way that the man himself thought he should play. So he was trying to, and he was trying to finish his fill, and the guy was trying to, you were trying to take your drumsticks away? No, he was taking the drum away? What was he taking away?
Moi, je... Comment ça?
Il empêchait, il voulait prendre...
Il mettait ses mains dessus de mes baguettes.
Oh yeah, he was putting his hand on his drumsticks. He's just really trying, desperate to not let him play. That's pretty strange. Did you get that?
Now that is strange.
Oh, I think the strangest thing... This was with Simon saying, with another band. I think... myself maybe would have been with that pop world band that I was telling you about. Where it's just people being strange or saying strange things to you while you're on stage, and I get some crazy people. That I wouldn't say crazy, but very illuminated, I would say, and who would say very strange things to me while I was playing. I don't know, it's kind of trippy or mystical or some strange things like that. That'd be it for me.
So let's
nope. Literally
nothing for Ben.
No.
Nothing strange happening there. So tell me about the album Burner.
Burner. Okay.
How long did that take to actually put together?
You want the truth?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, to record it was not very long. It took us one day to do the basic tracks, and which was 17, and we eliminated some songs to finish at 12, and after we did two more days doing final vocals. And the BVs. and guitars, more guitars on it. And after, I think it took 15 days to do the mix by our friend Jan,
who's our sound engineer.
Yeah, who mixed the album. And it took a lot of time because. The first sound engineer was doing mixes. It took him a lot of time, and we were not happy with the mix. So we have to ask for the
tracks. We had to get the stuff back off of the first sound engineer. He didn't want to. I don't think he wanted to mix it. He really did. Unfortunately. We're still friends, are no problem. But I think he wanted to keep it and he wanted to mix it, so he was retaining
the tracks.
We couldn't get our tracks out of him to give it to our the other sound engineer to mix. So that took 3 months, of kind of, you know, asking every week, can we get the tracks, please? Can we get the tracks? Because we're, you know, and yeah, I don't think he wanted to, which I understand. He recorded it and he did a good job. But the mixing was, you know, for somebody else to do. That's just the way it had to be. And so finally, when we did get the tracks off of him, the files, track files, Jan took about 10 days 15 days to mix, going back and forth between us, showing us stuff and everything, and to fine tune probably another 10 days, but not entire days to fine tune. And then he took it down to Montpellier, which is in the south of France, to be mastered. So the glass master was done in another part of France.
It took less than a month to finish it, but yeah. It took 2 years to...
It took 2 years for it to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're all DIY. We started with a kind of label for that takes care of our music, which is called the Roman Beach Party, which actually, we forgot to talk about the Celibate Rifles. I don't know if you know the Celibate Rifles.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a major influence for us. Ben actually played quite a few. Did you play in the same?
Yeah, we did. We opened for the Celibate Rifles
in his other bands, and in one of his other bands called the Chameleons Day. Kent Steedman, which is the guitarist of the Celibate Rifles, actually produced their album. So there was this huge, there's always this Australian connection. And the Roman Beach Party is the name of the label, which is what you see. Well, you don't see it, actually, because you don't have the back cover of Burner. It's written on the back cover of Burner. There is our name and the song titles, the track titles, and there is the Roman Beach Party. That name was taken from an album by the Celibate Rifles. And so through the Roman Beach Party, which is basically us, we had to go through the whole ropes of learning how to release an album, to do a self-release. And going through all the you know, you have to declare all the songs, that we knew how to do. But, you know, there's this whole process you have to go through to officially release an album in France. It's not an easy thing as a whole. It's quite procedural. And so that all in all took, almost 2 years. And with the waning in between, with the tower in between, and, you know, kind of dropping off along the way and saying okay, and then remembering and saying, oh, we have to release Burner, okay, and then we had to do the graphic arts, and we did really everything ourselves, so that took a little while for us to agree at what we wanted to what we wanted the album cover to be like. The name was easy when I came and said the album name is Burner, and they both said yes immediately, so that wasn't too much of a problem. And all in all, it took about 2 years to do all of that. But the recording, the recording of Burner was very, very immediate.
Well, the music was
a very easy part. The music was an easy part. It was a rest. When it came and we released it on the 29th of October, and we had a fantastic concert. It was really, really brilliant. And I remember before we got it, just the week of the concert or maybe the week before. And I remember after all this effort, I looked at this little red object, and I remember looking at it, receiving it, and the guy delivered it to the house. And I was looking, I was like, all this for this? It's just a small, it's just a rectangle.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite amazing. It's quite, I was like, oh my God, all this effort went into this tiny little thing. It's just a concentration of all of this was, I believe that when we had the release party at the Palladium, which is quite a nice place, very mythical place, emblematic place in Paris, I was extremely happy because at last it was released. It's very frustrating to not finish a job. And had we not released Burn, it would have been very unfortunate.
I actually have an idea for your next album name.
Really?
I do. Now, you've got the current album, which is called Burner.
Mm-hmm.
I think your next album should be called After Burner.
Like ZZ Top?
Yeah.
I was thinking over... you can think of it like that, or... You know, the afterburner on a jet afterburner.
No, exactly. Yeah. Afterburner, hold on. Is that not, for example, when airplanes take off? Is that what we call the afterburner? What's afterburner?
Yeah, it's a like a
boost. It's like a boost.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, but I don't know. I think at this point we go somewhere else. We'll see. We'll let you know if we do it.
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. But people have to know what burner is first before we do afterburner.
So on burner, Lisa, what's your favorite song on the album? I know that could be difficult sometimes to pick a favorite song.
Yeah, it's difficult all the time. But I'm going to try. I'd go with, at the moment, the one I listen to when I listen to anything from burner, the one I listen to the most is How Many Times, which is the last track. It's the longest track, I believe. I think it's quite long. It's like 6 minutes or 5 minutes or something. I'm not sure. How Many Times? I didn't reply to a question earlier on, which part Ben likes the creating, Simon likes the stage. I actually love the studio. And that's where I get a million trillion ideas. And in the case of How Many Times, I get a lot of ideas everywhere. But in studio, I don't know, something happens. How Many Times, for example, the whole chorus, there's at the end of it, I don't know if you've listened to that particular song, but at the end of it, you have like a choir singing, and it's just all of us singing. And there was this whole lick that wasn't there before. The song existed before, but there are a lot of inspirational voices that came in the studio while we were recording the voices, or it's just like you hear them at that time. It's like a revelation. It's quite cool. I love that moment. So I have to go with How Many Times, especially for that last part with the choir feel, when you sing Run Along Now. Run along now, you got me going. That part, I absolutely adore that part.
So what's the song actually about?
How Many Times?
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually, my lyrics, in any case, the lyrics, I just pick ideas for, it could be a TV show, it could be anything, situation, life situations. And How Many Times, I guess, is one of those failed relationships. In this case, it may be more of a romantic relationship, where, they just hang on and hang on. And this is even an abusive relationship in this case. It may not be inspired. My son's not necessarily inspired by direct contact with situations, or it's just something I might feel coming off of somebody that I cross in the street, that something is wrong in their lives, and I may translate it that way. That may not be true, but that's the way I will feel it and translate it, and it may come out in a song. I don't know why How Many Times came out. I think it came out in the music. I felt when we were doing the music, that's what the music inspired me, inspired me. So it's more of an abusive relationship where the woman actually gets the courage to say, go, get the hell out of here now. And so it's why you get at one point, how many times, how many ways, how many years, till your hand and meet my face. You're low now, you're low now. And so it gets to this, it's kind of a real blues, in fact. Yeah, it's a real, real blues, and that's rare for me.
How many times?
Anybody else?
What's your favorite song, Ben?
Ben.
My favorite song? Well, well, I'm going to say The Dig. Yeah, it's a second song on the album. Well, I was quite happy with the parts, the guitar parts, but I think the drums really great, the voice really great, and it's quite an energetic song, I can say that.
Energetic, yeah.
But there is a slow moment, the chorus is slow, and after it just start, and it's quite full of rage, and the end, there's like an anticlimax.
Yeah, it's an anti. Yeah, almost an anticlimax.
Good guitar solo, and after it fades, the song fades.
Do you like the bass?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm really proud of this record, because it was made during one day, the basic track. It's really a real record. You know, I'm really proud of that. And maybe I can say the song I love the least. No, because I can say the Last Night is a great song. Okay, I'm quite happy with this record. Okay, The Dig.
The Dig, number two.
So, well,
The Dig is about, this, in terms of lyrics, The Dig is about, I'll go quickly on this one, was just basically the day job that I was at, and they were screwing around with me, and so which I eventually was fired from, and it's a very revengeful song. In fact, it's a little bit of a menace. It was the mood I was in when that happened.
Next time.
Simon, what do you say?
My favorite song is not on Burner.
Yeah, no, no, honestly, my favorite song is not on Burner either, but we're talking about Burner.
But
Tony, we had 45 songs, it's hard for us.
Yeah. I love Another Place to Be, but...
oh, God.
Yes, I know you don't really like it.
I like it. It's just
but I would say My Romance, because... We don't play My Romance a lot of
yeah, because there's a keyboard
on
stage,
yeah, there's a keyboard.
There's a keyboard, and so we don't get much of a chance to play it.
My Romance, well, yes, eight tracks.
Number eight.
And what's that song about?
Same thing. Same rage as the jig. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same. In fact, I write lyrics in sometimes in packs. And it's just an extension of the dig, in fact. The dig, when I said, was full of revenge, no. The dig was not full of revenge. It was a promise to revenge. The My Romance, though, it's like when you get to the... you get to the part where... Yeah, okay, this is it. It's the same thing. It's the same situation. It was a very bad situation in terms of... humanely, I was treated inhumanely for me. And that was a no-go. And so to exorcise, if you have to get rid of these bad feelings, you have to write them, or I have to write them, or to sing them. So these were two songs that
the dig and my romans,
yeah, that. Oh yeah, okay. Simone's reminding me that they were both done in the same week, which is true. And we were rehearsing up in the north of Paris in this tiny, dinky little place at that time. It was terrible. And same theme, alienation, social alienation, or conflict at the workplace, or, you know, having a bad boss, you know.
Yeah.
As close as shut, I'll kick your butt, my romance. This bloody war, I'll kill you all, romance. I wish you hear me. I wish you.
Basically, or just, I mean, that's what it's about. That's what it's about for me. For example, the dig, somebody talked about me to ask what the dig was about, and they swore that the dig was a love song from what they were listening, you know, to the way they interpreted the lyrics. And I told them what I meant by it, but that doesn't mean that's what you're going to get from it. So I don't know. The words are very ambiguous, and I leave my words open. For that reason, I don't do it on purpose, but I know it's there, the desire to leave them open so that people can jump in and make their own story, really.
The older time, because there was this guy, Sting from the Police, who was talking about Every Breath You Take, which was a really frightening song.
Really?
Well, because it's running after the ex.
Where? Out of what?
He's looking after his ex-girlfriend, and he said, every move you make, I've been watching you. It's like a sick song.
Yeah, it sounds like a sick song.
And then there was this guy who said, oh, this is the most wonderful love song he ever heard.
I didn't, for me, it was a love song.
And Sting was freaking out about that because it was really a hate song. You know?
Oh, right. And, oh, yeah. I didn't find it was a... Yeah, that's strange. I never heard that, and I thought Every Breath You Take was a love song. When I heard it, yeah, that's true. So there's always room for interpretation, lots of room, and I hope to leave lots and lots and lots of room for that. That's fine. That's great. It's as I was saying earlier on about the mixture between languages, between French and English, or using one word and having. I myself want many interpretations for that one word. So if people take all the lyrics and they interpret them whichever way, that's great, that's wonderful. Let them make their own story. That's perfect.
So it's been a lot of fun during this interview, and you've got lots of songs that you've done in the past. What's coming up in the future for Terra Novacane?
Terra Novacane, over to you, Simon. Okay, over to me?
No.
Huh? Okay, over to me, back to me. For the future album, we'd love to. Afterburner, yes. Yes, Afterburner. Trademark, Eric.
Just remember to put me on the inside of the album.
We will. Irkmaid. That's not. That I like too, Irkmaid. I have to think about that one too. Afterburner. Actually, I don't know if we could actually do a double album at this point in our career, but at the same time, I say, why not? We could do anything we want because, you know, we're free. So, because we have so many songs, it's really, it'd be a waste to every year to, you know, leave a couple of songs behind, not even a couple, leave like tens of songs behind. So maybe a double album at the end of the year. Why not? We can do what we want. Next concert in the 7th of April, in Paris still. Looking forward to that. with a designer, fashion designer called Zulibet. And if not, just setting Burner, promoting Burner, trying to get Burner on more radio stations, looking for a manager, that would be good. Stuff like that.
Yeah, well, hopefully there were some people who working for us. Well, but you know, the music industry is not really at its best for the moment. So it gives us freedom, but sometimes you need money to produce something, you know. So we're working on it. It's quite hard, but what would like is to go and play outside Paris.
Yes, in fact, we'd like to. We're working on a. That's true. I forgot about that. We're working on a Portuguese. I'm working on playing in Portugal because I think that's a good place to start. Europe. I think people there are very open and willing to discover new music, and so they come out. That'd be really good, and so we're working on that, and hopefully they will do that this summer. Hoping to do lots of festivals this summer, or some festivals this summer. In any case, playing outside, yeah, in the festival feel. Ben, I don't know. I think you've done festivals. I don't think I've done. No, I haven't done any festivals. I'd like to do that, but especially, yeah, I think we'd like to get back to the studio in about 6 months. With Jan, and yeah, Afterburner, that'd be good.
I'll actually have to put you in contact with my friend Rod Rege from the Cowboy Cantor podcast. He's mm-hmm. actually based in Portugal.
Oh, really? That's cool. That'd be lovely.
He lives on the Azores Islands.
Oh, really? All right.
But he does come to the mainland. I actually met him last year when I was in Lisbon, so I'll put you in contact with Rodrigo, because I'm sure he'd love your music, and if you and him happen to be down there at the same time, I think that'd be great.
Okay. What's the name of the venue where I would like to play in Lisbon?
Plano B. You've been
in Lisbon last year?
You were in Lisbon last year, right?
I was just there for the day, and I met up with Rodrigo there.
Okay. No, but the thing is in Porto, not in Lisbon, what you're thinking of. That'd be great. Thank you very much. That'd be great. Yeah.
So
I get it off your email. Cool.
Yeah, I'll send you that on the email. But it's been a lot of fun. I know it's late for you guys, and it's really great that you've managed to spend the time with me. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, thank you, Eric. Our pleasure. And if you need an extra song to play, yeah, play Last Night. That's a cool song, too.
Last night I was not there who said I was.
Awesome. So thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Ben. And thank you, Simone. That was rather cool. I really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it too, listeners.
We really did.
Yeah.
Oh, listeners. Oh, we don't know.
So where's the easiest place to find you guys online? How can we get in contact with you?
You can get in contact with us at through Reverb Nation. We have a Reverb Nation page, which is easy. The address is easy. Reverb Nation, reverbnation.com/Terranovacaine, TERRANOVACAINE. Hope I didn't make a mistake, but I don't think so. That's easy to get us there, and you can get our email, or you can look, if you type Terranovacaine, it's either you'll be on exactly how I spelled it, you'll find us somewhere. But through Reverb Nation or through Facebook, we can be contacted.
Don't forget, you can hear this interview and a lot of others. I know Lisa mentioned that she listened to the Domino interview. www.erkfmextra.com. Until next time, I'm Erk, and thank you very much for listening.
Said I was. Last night I was not.